Hello and welcome back to the Gospel Fantasy Football Show. I hope you guys are having a great week. I'm your host, Zay, the Fantasy Football Fiend, and I have my guy, Young Vander, the Fantasy Nostradamus. How at the people, my guy?
What's going on out there?
So today, we're going to give you a little bit of news and notes. We're going to have the second part to our series that we're kind of rolling with here. Going to take a look at whether or not people's ending from last year is likely to happen again, or if it may have been a bit of a fluke. So we will take a look at that. Remember, you can see us on YouTube at the Gospel STP. Again, that's on YouTube at the Gospel STP. If you haven't joined the Facebook group, go ahead and do that, the Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. So let's go right ahead and hop into the news. Not a whole lot going on. It's been stated right now that all three of the current New Orleans quarterbacks are going to be battling it out for the QB1 job now that Derek Carr has announced his retirement. Who do you think has the inside track?
I think they have all of them bad, but I guess Tyler will probably have the inside, being that he was actually chosen by this new regime. So Kellen Moore is inheriting two quarterbacks. So I guess he maybe get the first shot at it, being that he's the high draft pick. But in all honesty, man, I mean, all three of these guys can very well not even be in the league, I think, at that point, in all honesty.
Aaron Rodgers is still in contact with the Steelers. I don't know if there's an inevitable signing here, if this is a pipe dream at this point for the Steelers, and Rodgers didn't really want to be there, and he's doing everything but coming out and saying it. Like, how do you feel about this situation at this point?
I think the situation got worse when they made the trade, when they got rid of George Pickens, in all honesty. So by them removing an offensive weapon, I don't think Rodgers was actually a fan of that. And then now that the Saints are in the predicament that they're in, this is another opening. So maybe he's seeing his phone ring from the guys in New Orleans at this point. I'm surprised that the Steelers are even actually have been waiting around this long for him. And had ever, you know, every opportunity to draft a replacement in the draft, and they did not. So.
I mean, I don't know. Like, if you're the Saints, wouldn't you rather see what you have in the building? Like you're not a quarterback away from winning anything. Like I can see why the Steelers may think that they're right on the verge. I don't think they're right on the verge, to be honest with you, but I can see why they would think that. But New Orleans?
The Saints are not on the verge of maybe winning a championship, but that division I think it could be had, you know what I'm saying? So maybe they feel like, I mean, they're probably closer to a division championship than the actual championship, if that makes sense. So,
I mean, I feel you. It'll be interesting what direction they go at this point. If I'm them, being that I'm in salary cap hell and kind of a middle-of-the-road team, I would prefer to get the best draft possible next year, cut vets this year. And if I'm them, I'm going to follow the 49ers' current blueprint. I'll put it that way. Versus thinking that you're going to be in the middle of the road and just be able to retool instead of rebuild, when before you had to retool, you weren't great to begin with. So either way go, you're going to have to hit the reset button. So why bring in a guy that's going to be what is essentially a one-year rental? That's kind of where I'm at. But we shall see what goes on there. Running backs, Trey Sermon is going to join Pittsburgh. So he is no longer going to be in Indy. He'll be in Pittsburgh. Nick Chubb, there's questions out there whether the door is closed on a Browns reunion. I believe it is, personally.
Yeah.
You had a vet there that took a pay cut, and then they drafted two additional running backs. And it's not very often that you'll have, you know, four or five running backs on the same team just due to limited roster space. And the respect that they want to give him to not bring him on as a camp body when he may be able to get on and make a roster somewhere else. But they obviously wouldn't cut the rookies, and they just renegotiated a contract with Ford. So I don't have a feeling that this is likely. Do you feel kind of different, or where are you at with Chubb?
Chubb is done in Cleveland. I never thought he was going back anyway. I mean, horrific injury that he got, and when he did come back, he was trying to work his way. He just didn't quite look the same, of course, trying to work his way back. And then again, like you said, I mean, you go into the draft and you draft two young running backs, and the guy that you had there in Ford is fairly young himself. So it's a crowded room and really no need for a guy like Chubb at this point in Cleveland.
And that about wraps up the news. I guess we can throw out there that Gabe Davis is visiting the Giants and he's visiting San Francisco. I don't know that Gabe Davis is fantasy relevant anymore. Two stops without success, and I got to put you on the back end unless you get some guru that just couldn't wait to get his hands on you and he makes you a thing again. Outside of that, I don't believe any of us will be depending on Gabe Davis. Tyreek Hill underwent another procedure on his wrist. Not exactly sure why he waited till May to do this, but Wednesday he had a procedure to remove screws from his left wrist. So hopefully that all works out.
Well, the Roman reason Wilson, real quick, I know people always ask, like, why these guys wait so long to get surgery? And the answer for that is, I got hurt on the clock, and I'm going to get fixed on the clock. So these guys are not going to go, if the season's done, they're not going to, in the off season, handle, get, you know, tend to that. They're going to wait till they're back on the clock and then tend to it. That's just how it works.
Okay. You see that?
Yeah.
That makes
sense. Yeah, that's sense. Why you see people wait so long to get, you'd be like, why did he wait 2 months to get surgery? I'm going to wait till I get back on the clock, and then I'm going to, you know, take my, you know, people take their time off of work and then go. And it's pretty much like that.
I kind of felt like that's what Derek Carr was going to do. But he was just like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, more power to you. Roman Wilson of Pittsburgh. His outlook is improved now that Pickens is gone. Do we think Pittsburgh is maybe in the market for an Amari Cooper? Or are they going to make a move for another wide receiver? Or are they going to run with what they got right now? And if they run with what they got right now, should Roman Wilson be a thing? Or is it essentially DK or bust?
I mean, I don't think he's going to be a thing because they don't have a quarterback. So at this point, DK not even a thing. In all honesty, I mean, who's going to throw in the ball? Mason Rudolph? Like, so I don't, at this point, I don't care if they go get whoever. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think none of these guys are a thing until a quarterback's in the building. I mean, they're already dealing with one of the, in my opinion, one of the worst offensive coordinators in football. Who's already.
For sure.
And for not. Sure. A quarterback that's not even starter worthy. So, no. And I like Roman coming out. I thought he's pretty cool, but if you ain't got to back the helm, then you're wasting your time.
All righty. So let's go ahead and hop into, are you for real? But the brighter side this week. Guys that surprised us, and we need to know, are you for real? Because that may have a determining factor on the price we're willing to pay, also spot we're willing to draft you in. So let's start out with QBs. We're going to start out near the top. Jaden Daniels, quarterback of the Washington Commanders. Is he for real, or does he get bit by the sophomore bug that most QBs get bit by?
No, I think he's definitely for real. This dude hit the ground running. He's one of those guys that landed in the perfect situation where he got the perfect signal caller and he, you know, the division was good. Like he couldn't write a better script at this point as far as Jaden is concerned. And I think another year in this offense, he continues. What was his finish last year?
He finished number four.
Okay. And you know, four or five, I see five on my
list. I'm looking at Fantasy Pros. Our fantasy leaders board, yeah. And it has him at QB4.
So, yeah, at this point, this is where he's at. This is it. I think five is probably his floor, in all honesty, if Jaden Daniels is concerned.
So let's talk about the ceiling and the floor of this next guy. Baker Mayfield was actually at number five.
Now, this is a guy, I mean, he's had a couple good years in a row, but he did lose his signal caller. And I'm not sure if that's going to have an effect. Also, his big-time wide receiver is another year older, you know, Michael Evans. I think we're going to see a dip in Baker Mayfield. And not meaning like he's going to fall off the earth or anything, but on this list I got, he finished top three. You know what I mean? So I don't think we're going to see that. You know what I mean? So it's going to be a little decline. So he's not for real. That makes sense. I think he still could be a QB1, but maybe closer to 10 than 3.
Jared Goff was QB number 6. Is he for real?
Again, kind of same thing with Baker. Lost his signal caller, a really good one, that is. The weapons are there. So, again, it's kind of one of those things I want to see. Goff is pretty streaky. He can get hot, and then he can go out there and throw 5 interceptions, right? So I'm going to say he's not for real. I'm going to say he's another guy that's going to come down a little bit, could still finish as a QB1, but closer to 10 and 12 than 5 and 6. So I think he'll come down as well.
Mr. Sam Darnold, QB8 on the year.
Yeah.
Do you think that he's going to relive the magic in Seattle, or how we feeling?
Oh, man. He exceeded expectations last year. But I'm going to be a little down on him as well. He's on a new team, new skill players. Now, the good thing about it is with Kubiak, the offense is similar to the one in Minnesota. So it's not a huge difference in, you know, the way the offense is ran.
But and he does have the talent there too, for sure.
He has talent, but you don't have Justin Jefferson. You know, and Jigba, he cool. Cooper Kupp is cool. But none of these guys are Jettas. And so, with that being said, he's another guy that's going to come down. And I'm not going to say he will be a quarterback one. I think he probably could be a high two, mid two. So, I think he's going to see a significant drop.
And lastly, for QBs, Brock Purdy, QB12.
And, I mean, he finished there, and he only played 15 games last year. So that's saying something as well.
Weapons will be a little bit different than what he's used to this go-round.
I think this is his money spot. I think he's going to be a low quarterback one, fantasy-wise. And even NFL, I have him as a top 10 quarterback, closer to 10. So I think this is where he's going to be at. So I'm going to say he's for real. And where he's sitting at now is probably where he'll be at, where he'll finish.
And I did just want to point out before we go over the running back that on this list, when looking at the QB1s this year past, and we do see this happen often, guys that were your QB1s, yes, Lamar was the number one overall, Josh Allen was number two. And you probably would have had to draft them one and two if you're in a super flex or two QB league. Joe Burrow was number three. But quarterbacks 4, 5, 6, and 8, Jalen Hurts was number 7. But 4, 5, 6, and 8 being Jaden Daniels, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, and Sam Darnold, you didn't have to pick them anywhere near the first round. And you got QB1 production. Bo Nix was QB9. Patrick Mahomes was 10. You paid up for him. You paid up for Jalen at 7. Kyler Murray was 11 and Brock Purdy was 12. So, again, you can get your QB production that you're looking for without having to jump out the window and not be able to get what you need in other positions because you went QB so early. Just something to keep in mind.
And as far as Jaden Daniels go, I seen that coming. So, yeah, you didn't have to draft him early, but if you was paying attention, if you were listening and watched the show, you should have known he was going to be there for real. You know what I mean? So, again, this year, I think the Jaden Daniels of this draft would probably be someone like Justin Fields because he's kind of the forgotten guy. And due to some of his skill set, I think he could be a guy that can creep up into the QB1 atmosphere And what I mean by being the Jaden Daniels of this year is being that you didn't have to probably spend early on him, but still get that QB1 production like you speak of. So I'm going to say Justin Fields is probably a guy that will probably be that guy for this year, in my opinion.
Moving on over to RB, Saquon Barkley, RB number one.
Yeah.
For real? Does he repeat? Like, what do we got going on?
The only thing that can stop Saquon is injury. And, I mean, you carried the ball 345 times. He's reaching that threshold. I mean, caught 33 balls. When you reach that 360, 370, and playoffs on top of that, so he's probably 400-plus touches in, that's a lot. And that next year, you don't really see – we've seen guys like DeMarco Murray, right? We've seen some guys that get run into the ground, and then the next year they come out and they're nothing. Like,
you're in your post, but I'll quit.
The only person who has exceeded that was Derrick Henry. He's spending $250,000 every year in his body, right? So, again, Saquon, the offensive line is great. We've seen what he can do with a good offensive line. I'm going to say he's for real, but the only thing I think can stop him is injury due to the amount of wear that he actually went through last year.
Derrick Henry was RB number four.
Shit.
Number four. Does he stay around that neighborhood? Does he increase? Like what's the range of outcome for Derrick Henry?
Man, you got to get – people have been – I'm going to stay. I mean, at this point, I mean, damn, fool me once. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, so for the last 3 to 4 years, people have been saying, this is it for Derrick Henry. This is it for Derrick Henry. This is it for Derrick Henry. He just – I mean, look at Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott's not even old. I think Ezekiel Elliott's like 28 years old. And we've seen in the decline. You see, again, how I was just talking about with Saquon, we've seen the fall really quick with a guy that was handed a lot of touches and then, you know, moving forward. But Henry has just exceeded expectations, and he went against all the odds. So with that being said, I'm going to stay in the fire with him. I mean, I know he's going to be a running back one. Again, if not injured, he should probably be a top five running back. I mean, because you have one of the better running quarterbacks in the league who make those running lanes a whole lot bigger. So I'm going with that.
Devon A. Chain was RB number five. Is he for real?
I'm going to say no, and not due to the skill set, but I don't think he's going to get enough touches that some of the other guys are going to get for him to keep him in the good graces. He played all the games last year, but he had 203 carries, which is not really a lot for a starting running back, right? He had a 900 yards rushing, you know what I'm saying? So,
but he didn't need any more carries to be a top five running back.
Correct.
So
I just think that guys like Genty, Bucky Irving, I think some of these guys that's behind him are not.
I got you.
And then maybe tumble a little bit. So
so his output will be about the same. It's going to be the increase of output from other dudes that make him fall back.
Absolutely.
I got you. Okay.
I mean, as far as the skill set, ability, all that, he money. He's in the right offense for his skill set. But again, the lack of volume versus the guys behind him who's going to get a lot more volume than him, they're going to probably leapfrog. So I'm going to say going down for them.
One of those guys that's going to be getting a lot of volume was actually RB number six, Josh Jacobs.
Hmm.
Is he for real?
Yeah. Because Josh Jacobs at this point is one of the only bell cows we have left in this game. So as long as he's not injured, yeah, he's for real. I mean, they seem to like him. He's now proven that he can catch the ball, right? That was the thing. People thought he couldn't catch the ball. He's proven he can do that. 15 rushing touchdowns last year. He's the guy. I mean, he's a three-down back, and there's not me in this league. He's one of the few, very few. So he's definitely for real. Still should be floating around the same, I'm going to say, from 5 to 8 range.
Chase Brown was RB10.
Man.
Moss got hurt towards the middle part of the year, and Brown kind of took off. They re-signed Moss, and I want to say they drafted another RB, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So are we feeling like Chase Brown can have the same type of performance, or is it going to be one of those similar situations where guys behind him are going to get more opportunities and it's not his talent, but he's going to be a similar type of setup when looking at Devon Achane?
Nah, man. Chase can actually, he's the real deal and can definitely increase on that. If you watch Bengals games, you'll see this dude, Burrow's really looking his way. He dumps the ball off to him a whole lot. Even in the red zone, he's looking for this guy. I think he's proven that he can take the wear and be productive. I mean, I had him on, like, this dude helped me pretty much get there. Like, he was getting some big double-digit games all down towards the end of the season and during the playoffs due to his catching ability. If you do remember Joe Mixon from years past, he's floating in top five, top six, finishes at all times, right? And I think he's now in that chair. So I like Chase Brown moving forward. I think he's going to come up a good bit. I actually think Chase would be one of those guys that would probably leapfrog Achane.
Okay.
So he's one of the ones I'm talking about who I think will move in front of him due to he's getting a little more volume, because Chase finished here last year, but remember, like you said, the early part of the season, he wasn't even playing that much.
That's true.
He turned it on from the midseason to the very end. So if you can get him a complete season, man, I think he can very well get up there in the top six, top seven.
James Conner, the guy that everyone thought was done after the injury in Pittsburgh, is still an RB1. James Conner is RB number 11. Is this the year where he finally gets the injury that takes him out? Or because we were looking for that injury for about the last 3 years now. We were looking for his would-be replacement to step up and take a bite out of his apple for the last couple of years, too. It is yet to happen. So do we continue to roll with James Conner? Or do you make a move a year too early versus it being a year too late? Like, how are we looking at Conner?
I think this is it for him.
Okay.
As far as the Conner we used to seeing, I think he's going to start coming down a little bit as he's getting older. The one thing he does have on his side is he's pretty much the goal line back on that team. We did see them drafted Trey Benson last year. Didn't quite pan out to who you thought he could have been in his offense, but even in totality, his offense hasn't quite been what you thought it was going to be. I did see a report where Kyler Murray said he needs to run the ball more this year. And with that being said, that's probably going to take some touchdowns away from James Conner. So I think he still could be an RB2, I think, but I think he's going to come down out of the RB1 category this year for sure.
Moving on over to the wide receivers, Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver number 4.
Yeah.
See, for real, does Hunter come in and steal? I mean, for them to move heaven and earth to go and get Hunter, I don't think they wouldn't got him to not pass him the ball. Not looking at talent, but looking at the likelihood of reproducing what he did last year when, honestly, he was the only game in town for them. Do we feel like he gets the same target share with Hunter in there? And they just spend all that capital to still only utilize one wide receiver? Or will any of the changes that are going on in Jacksonville in the offseason have any effect on where BTJ will end up?
Nah, he for real. I mean, he finished 4, and I think 4 is his floor. In all honesty, I think 4 is his floor. I think I got this guy contending for the Triple Crown this year. You heard it here, right? I'm not saying he's going to win it, everybody, but I think he's going to be in contention to get it, because things have only gotten better for him. He's gotten a better signal caller in the building. And that same signal caller was a signal caller, the OC, when Cooper Kupp won the Triple Crown and with the Rams. So Colin was there. We've seen what he'd done in with the Buccaneers, and we see how great Baker Mayfield and the rest of those receivers have gotten. Travis Hunter's going to be playing some defense as well. So I think he's on a, I could see Travis Hunter maybe getting 900 yards, 8 touchdowns, or, you know, flirting around that area, but that's fine. He can get that. It's still going to be enough out there for BTJ to do his magic. So,
quick sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
If those two things are true, then that means you got to have Trevor Lawrence making a come up. So is that a guy you should go after right now in Dynasty and kind of harp on the fact that it hasn't mattered in the past who his wide receivers were? He still wasn't a good QB. I want to say last year, Trevor Lawrence ended up being QB 27. And that was with Brian Thomas Jr. being wide receiver number 4.
Yeah.
So you can have a conversation with a league mate that Thomas can't get but so much better, but Trevor's almost at 32.
Right.
But if you're telling me that Thomas is going to be the same or better, and Hunter has an opportunity to be an outside 1,000-yard receiver, mm-hmm. then that would have to mean that the quarterback is going to make a come up as well. So
yeah,
I know this is a sidebar, but what's the ceiling for Trevor Lawrence?
He's my Sam Darnold this year.
Okay.
So I didn't know if I said it. I thought I said it here. Maybe I didn't.
Okay.
And actually, I've been trying to peel him away from the Trevor Lawrence owner.
But they feel the same way you do about his prognosis going forward?
No, I don't think they feel the same way. No, because, I mean, they offered him to me, but I didn't like the offer. But
okay.
I don't think they quite feel the same way I do. And maybe they're not so really paying attention, per se. But from what I see from the outside, I think he's Sam Darnold this year. I think he's that quarterback, especially in your redraft leagues, that you don't, that you spoke on a few minutes ago, that you don't have to quite spend up for, but you can get that QB1. A QB1 production, and to even go a step further, if you're in a redraft league, 2-quarterback league, and your 2 quarterbacks are Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, I think you're on your way.
You'll be fine.
I think you're on your way. I think you can compete. You can compete with the guy that has
Patrick Mahomes.
You know, Patrick Mahomes and
yeah,
and Jared Goff, right? I think you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. So. The names might not be as sexy, but he is my Sam Darnold of this year. So, yeah, I think we're going to see the same way we've seen Baker Mayfield make that leap. I think Trevor Lawrence has the ability, and with this guy, he's going to make him a little more comfortable. And it's going to be easier. It's going to be a little easier to get it done. So, yeah.
It should be, because you got some dudes that as long as you don't get sacked, then you can throw the ball up. They're going to track it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Malik Nabers.
And with that being said, don't go steal them. Okay? Don't go do your little magic. I know how you do, and you go do your little magic, and then, you know, you'll take something from here, and then I'll see it later. Like, you know what I'm saying? But yeah,
Hey, I'm a host, but I'm a client as well.
Yeah.
I don't just come to the show to talk. I come to listen as well. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, sure. But no, I already had that, like, I didn't see him being the Sam Darnold of this year.
Yeah.
I didn't have it there based on the fact that he was QB27 and he already had Brian Thomas. So I didn't see Hunter making such an impact that it takes him from 27. If all things are equal with Thomas, what he did last year, giving him about the same thing next year, Hunter would have to have a heck of a season to take that QB from 27 with the points that he put up with Thomas to raise him to.
Well, it's
eight, not really, which is where Sam Darnold ended up.
It's not really Hunter. It's just the road travel to your destination. If you leave from Columbia and you're going to Elgin, you can get on 20, but you can also just stay on 2 knots, right? If you take 2 knots all the way down, it's going to take you straight into Elgin. Yeah, but you can get on 20 as well and take you. So it's not really about where you're going, it's how you're going. Not just think Cohen is going to be the right guy to get him there. And what I mean by get him there is get him to that top peak position. So it's not really all about Travis coming along. It's really about the guy now who's calling the plays, going to make the travel a little easier.
So the same as the OC down in Tampa Bay, who's not a head coach for the Panthers, kind of unlock the Baker Mayfield, if you will. You're saying the combination of the talent that he has access to now and the new regime is going to kind of be able to mold him into a similar acceleration process, if you will.
Right.
Okay. I can see that. Note to self. For redraft, Dynasty, not too much, but for redraft, he'll be on my radar just because I try not to draft QB early. So, and we already talked about Fields before. He's on my radar. Fields, Lawrence, whoever gets the job in Indy between Richardson and Jones, whichever one of those guys, that'll be another guy that I'll get towards the end. Maybe. Look, I'm going to tell you like this. If the ADP don't catch up on Dak, I guess y'all don't remember Dak has been a top 10 QB every year he hasn't been hurt. And he hasn't had a number two wide receiver like he has now.
I think the ADP is going to catch up. But in my dream scenario, in a redraft, those would be my three quarterbacks. It'd be Dak, Lawrence, and Fields. That would be my three. If I could have my team made it how I want it, I would take those three. So, yeah.
I'd probably throw if I was going to use a fourth QB, I'd throw in Drake May. Yeah. I think you're going to see, as far as the offense is concerned, actually, as far as the team is concerned in New England, you'll see something completely different.
My fourth guy. And if I can't get Dak, so let's say Dak's ADP skyrockets now, right? My three. Fields, Lawrence, and Penix.
So, again, what we're trying to explain to you is you got several guys whose range of outcome is QB1. If you get a few of the guys whose range of outcome is QB1 without paying up for any of them, you put yourself in a much better position with all of your other spots. So that's basically what we're referring to there. Going back to wide receiver. Malik Nabers was wide receiver number 6. There's a new regime in town there. Well, not new regime, but new quarterback there. We actually don't know who the quarterback is going to be yet. Does it matter for Malik? Like, I don't know if he could be in a worse quarterback situation than he's already thrived in. Right. And he was wide receiver 6, and he missed – I can't remember if it was two or three games, whatever the case may have been, but he could have beat out Brian Thomas Jr. if he had made all the games. So who knows? And that was without a quarterback. So what's his range of outcomes?
No, I think he stays where he is. He's definitely a wide receiver 1. So I'm buying. He is who he is. His targets, he had 170 targets, right? A whopping 170 targets in 15 games. Only person had more was Jamar Chase, and he played 2 more games. So let that sink in, right?
And they didn't pick up, they didn't draft any receivers, did they?
No one that of significance. They brought out the same guys back. They re-signed.
They re-signed Wandale Robinson is still there, and they re-signed
Slayton. It's still there.
Yeah, Slayton. Yeah.
The kid Hyatt that they picked a year ago.
Hyatt, yeah.
Nah, not much has changed. And then they have a guy who throws a pretty good deep ball, Russell Wilson, who at one point used to be the best deep ball thrower in the league, in my opinion, as far as accuracy is concerned. So, yeah, they're going to let it fly. I think he'll be fine. Definitely wide receiver 1 back in, first rounder, for sure.
We going back to back to back with Buckeyes. Wide receiver number 7, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Wide receiver number 8, Terry McLaurin. Wide receiver number 9, Garrett Wilson. They for real?
I think Terry is for real. I think Garrett is for real. And I think in Jigba, this guy, I'm not sure if I like the. I mean, with Kubiak, it can be okay, but I don't know. I'm going to go a little bit down on Jay. I know a lot of people high on JSN. It's like how they've been high on Olave, and you've been wrong. So all you Olave people is screaming, he's another Buckeye. He's been screaming Olave, 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 Olave.
Yeah, I ain't gonna let you talk about my boy like that. When he on the field, he put up points. But you can't predict the injury. And even that, I mean, the concussion has derailed his season like 3 years in a row. So, I mean, you can't predict that. But when on the field, I mean, he's been a wide receiver one.
When was that? When did he ever been one? I mean,
his rookie year.
He didn't finish wide receiver one?
He was wide receiver 12 his rookie year.
Hmm. But who was the second
one? And he's been hurt every year since then.
I'm a little down on JSN. Not that he's going to fall off the earth or nothing like that. But I like Terry another year with Jaden as they going to get more comfortable with him. With each other. Debo is now in the building, who's probably going to take a little pressure off underneath. Maybe he see a little bit more one-on-one coverages over the top. As far as Garrett Wilson, I just think the targets is just going to be there. He has a better quarterback, so he should finish up there. And and Olave, I didn't see that finish. You say he finished. You gotta show me that.
No problem. Quick question for you. This guy, I'm really struggling with Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver number 11. I don't know if it's giving too much credit to the past and not looking at the now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just jaded, or is this guy truly not for real? Like, am I putting too much stock in the past, and now that he's pretty much one of the only receivers in Cleveland, he's going to have a similar year to last year based on just sheer volume? Or where are we at with Jerry Jeudy? Because he's definitely going to be a guy that can present himself as a huge value, because I don't think anyone wants to draft him high. But if he's going to get all the targets, then maybe it works out well for you based on where you can pick him up. How do you feel about Jerry?
I mean, you still have the tight end.
You got Tillman. You got Njoku.
They pick up Deontay Johnson.
Deontay Johnson.
Pretty decent.
See if he makes the team. He done got fired from everywhere within the first 3 months. I don't know what the heck is going on with him, but yeah.
I want to say with Jeudy, it depends on who the signal caller is, in all honesty, because, I mean, I think we've seen how Joe Flacco plays the game. And if it's Kenny, is it going to be Shador? Is it going to be? So I think the signal caller is definitely tied to that person as well.
Who do you think works out better for him as far as QB is concerned?
I must say Shador.
Okay. Jeudy
is a route runner.
Okay.
And I think Shador's skill set just fits him perfect. You know what I mean? You know, Flacco just going to let it go. He's going to throw it downfield.
So that's going to be who? Njoku? I think he's really the only down the field run and go get it receiver they have. I know he's a tight end, but
I think Njoku can be found whoever's there. I think his value probably won't change as much no matter who's throwing the ball. But I think with Jeudy, it really depends on who's throwing the ball. But with that being said, I'm still going to come down on him a little bit for sure.
Couple other wide receivers before we wrap it up with tight end. Wide receiver number 12. Ladd McConkey, was this due to kind of being the only game in town out there in Los Angeles with the Chargers? Or do we feel like he can actually build on last year? How are we feeling about Ladd?
I think this can be his spot. And the reason being, him and Herbert just seem to have a chemistry. So I know they went and got the guy Trey Harris, they drafted him, bringing him in. But I think their chemistry is good. He's kind of like his security blanket at this point. So due to the volume of catches in PPR for sure, and in a standard league, not so much. But in PPR, I think this is a money spot for him. I think he's just going to sit here. The same way you used to feel about Edelman or Welker, one of these guys back in the day. This is that version of that, where just, you know, 8 catches and 80 yards, right? That's him. And if he get the touchdown, great. But if you're in a full point PPR, you already got 16 points off the rip. And he's going to be that guy, the 80 yards, 8 catch guy. I think McCarthy's going to be that all day.
This guy, I can't even ask if he's for real. I can only ask if he'll be able to repeat what he did last season. And that's Mike Evans. Wide receiver 13. We know the man is for real. A good part of that season, he was the only veteran out there, and there were rookies trying to find their way. Let's live in the world where we can't predict injury. Godwin, Evans, McMillan, Kate Otten, all their pass catchers, all their complimented pass catchers are out there. Do we see Mike Evans having a similar year, or is it going to take an injury for him to creep back up into wide receiver one, being the first wide receiver two on the board? This is the first year that I've seen him not be a wide receiver one. And again, last year was without having Godwin on the field. So how are we feeling about Evans?
Oh, man. You got to understand, Evans did that in 14 games.
This is true, too. So he would have definitely been a wide receiver one if he had played the other three games.
He's the Derrick Henry of the wide receivers. So the same thing I said about Derrick Henry minutes ago, he is the Derrick Henry of wide receivers, because guess what? If you're Mike Evans owner, you know people have been telling you he's old for the last 3-4 years, right? Oh, he's old. He's old. Give him to me for cheap. It's Mike Evans. He's getting old. He's getting old. He's getting old. He's getting old. Every year, he get his 1,000 yards and get out of the way, right? And there's really nobody who really came in to really challenge him, I think, as far as targets is concerned. I think he's still the alpha dog in the room. Him and Baker Mayfield's team seems to have a pretty good rapport, especially in the red zone. Had 11 touchdowns last year. 11 touchdown catches in 14 games. So, nah, I'm, again, like I said about Derrick Henry, I'm not betting against him. But I still think he's going to be your low-end wide receiver one, high two. So in that 12 range, a 12, 13, his name is going to be in that range, I think, no matter what. I just don't think you can kick him out of that. I just think he's just going to – because you know how Mike does, right? So he'll go out here, have 30 yards receiving, and then the next game he'll have 200. Three touchdowns, right?
Two, right, exactly.
So he's an elevator. And then, so he lost you a game 1 week, and then he won your game 1 week. And then at the end of the season, you look at the totality of it, and you're like, damn, he had a good season. So he's going to have some games.
And I didn't have to spend up for him. Right. He was a wide receiver one that I paid wide receiver two or three money for.
So he's going to have some games where he give you nothing. But then he's going to play the Carolina Panthers and then add 240 yards receiving. And three touchdowns, he's like, damn. You know what I mean? So when the averages come out, he's going to be a wide receiver one. That's just what he does, man. It's kind of how like Tyler Lockett used to be, right? It's like big boom, low gain, boom, low gain, boom, low gain. It's not really a consistency with Mike Evans. He's really like a touchdown dependent wide receiver, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of yards. He's kind of touchdown dependent. As far as your scoring is concerned,
I wouldn't say touchdown dependent. He's big play dependent. I put it that way because he can make your week with just yards and no touchdowns as well.
Well, I say touchdown dependent because he only had 2 games last year over 100 yards, so it's not a lot of consistency with him. You see what I'm saying? So he'll get you 40.
That
yards.
Was different for him. That was an anomaly. Like the fact that he only had 2 games over 100 yards, that don't normally happen for him.
So let me just tell you the yardage for the first like 10 games.
Okay.
61, 42, 17, 94, 62, 34, 25, 68. Like, that's why I say he's touchdown dependent. So he's kind of like a David Montgomery of the wide receivers where he needs those touchdowns in order to have the big game. That's just who he is. But when he does have a big game, he really crushes him. But he's touchdown dependent. His yard, he's not a consistent guy. So he's not going to be the consistent Jamar Chase, one of these guys that you know every week they're going to give you something. That's not who this guy is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the season, you look at the numbers, He's gonna find a way to get it.
In several of your weeks, he won. If he didn't win, he was instrumental in the win.
Right.
So, moving on to tight ends to wrap it up. So I throw a few guys that are out at you. We had tight end one, Brock Bowers. For real?
I'm gonna say no.
And I agree with you. We got a regime change. We got a QB change. There's a whole lot of change. We got new wide receivers. There was no wide receiver one last year. Myers is still there. And now you got Beck. And Beck, to me, seems to be a – honestly, he may actually be a Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins type of, you know – I think he can grow into that type of wide receiver if things work out well. But Bowers is no longer the only game in town. There's a different quarterback that doesn't have a favorite receiver, different OC that doesn't have a favorite target to throw to yet. Like in his range of outcomes, he could still be the favorite of the OC and the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, tight end one is still right there, you know, for the taking. But it's a lot of unknown.
Yeah. And with a guy like Pete Carroll, when has he ever had a superior tight end?
That's true, too.
They're going to run the ball. I just don't think.
And the fact they spent up on the draft on Jenty, like, they're showing you that they're giving Pete Carroll the go ahead to create Seattle Part Two.
Well, Geno
Smith is Russell Wilson. Jenty is Beast Mode Part Two. He's literally recreating Seattle. I don't think that works out in the win column, because Seattle wasn't in the same division with the Broncos and Kansas City and the Chargers too, for that matter. Mm-hmm. But I see that, I'll put it like this. They will definitely have an identity. You'll know what you're going to get from them week in and week out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But again, it's nothing due to skill, anything.
Right.
I just think that Bowers is going to take a nice step down from last season, for sure.
George Kittle, tight end number two.
Yeah. He's tight end one for me.
How you feel about him going forward?
He's the tight end one.
Okay.
So I'm staying. I think this is where he's at. Debo's no longer there. You know what time it is, right?
Sure.
He's the big
dog. Well, let me ask you this, though. With Debo not being there anymore, Juan Jennings stepped up. Ayuk is another year removed from his injury. Parasol looks like he's going to be something.
Yeah.
And wasn't there another receiver that y'all drafted or picked up or something that was looking decent last year when he played in spurts? I can't remember who he was, but I remember another receiver being out there on the field when Juan Jennings got hurt.
I don't know.
Jennings, Parasol, and Ayuk were all out at the same time at one point.
I like Parasol, though, for sure. I think if you watch his last couple games of the season, I just think that Kittle is the guy in the room now. Him and Pretty has a pretty good connection. If you look at some of the other tight ends in the league, from the Travis Kelce's to the Mark Andrews, LaPorta's, everybody else's situation is different. McBride, I think, is another one. But I just think that Kittle he's in the same offense, hasn't changed anything. He lost one of the main target getters in the offense. So I just think he's the tight end one for me in my rankings. I got him tight end one.
How you feeling about tight end number three, Trey McBride?
I like Trey because he get the targets. 147 of them things last year. Didn't catch touchdowns, but had the yardage.
That was an anomaly too. Like that was crazy that he had all those targets and all those catches without the touchdowns with it.
He only caught two touchdowns, and the year before he had three touchdowns. So they're not looking for him in the red zone, but from 20 to 20, he beat you up. You know what I'm saying? 1,100 yards.
Because either Connor or Murray running in.
Yeah.
They don't really throw in the red zone all that much. They're running the red zone.
Yeah, so I like him due to the targets. I mean, anytime you can get your tight end to get you 150 targets, he got to be up there. So I have him tight end two on my list. So.
Jonnu Smith, tight end number four.
Now, this is a tricky one because he came out of nowhere, right?
Well, I hear you.
We've seen John Lu be good in Tennessee.
We've seen
in New England, and now he's got back. But him and if you watch the Dolphins play, him and Tua are and they're looking for him.
Because Tua like to get the ball out quick. Tua is operating on a quickened time clock. He's trying to get that ball out quick.
Yeah.
But his outside receivers don't get open not that they don't get open, but they aren't where they want to be on the field by the time he's ready to throw the ball.
Yeah.
They trying to go with them deep routes, and he's like, nah, I got to get rid of this. I'm going to have another concussion. That's the reason why Jonnu Smith had such a decent year. And that's also the reason why I could see having a decent year, being consistent, because he's going to be running the slot with Waddle and Hill on the outsides. So it's going to be between him and Smith who's going to get the most targets, because he's going to be trying to get that ball out quickly.
Yeah. I like him. He's the red zone guy. But think about it. You talk about these outside speedsters, they're smaller guys.
Yeah.
So if they're not catching a bomb running in the end zone, if he actually down here trying to get in, he's looking for Jonnu. So I do like Jonnu. I think he's for real due to everybody around him. So I just think he's the big guy. Like you said, Tua want to get that ball out quick, and he's the red zone guy. So I'm going to say, yeah, I think he's for real. I think he can still stay in this tight end one category for sure.
Last on the list for tight ends, and this one was kind of a heart warmer for me last year, Zach Ertz, tight end number 7. How you feeling about Zach Ertz in this Washington offense? Does the young guy, Sanault, that they drafted last year kind of take a step in his maturation process, and they kind of attempt to give him the reins? Like, they obviously use the tight end position in this offense, but who's going to be the guy that's actually out there? How are you feeling about Zach Ertz and his prognosis going forward?
Man, this is a tricky one, because Zach Ertz is, you know how you got those shoes by the door?
Yep. OG's book guineas. Look good, but I'm comfortable with them.
That's Zach Ertz. So he's older, but he knows how to get the job done. Him and Jaden Daniels have a really good chemistry. And even though they've drafted Sanott, he still has Bates in front of him. So you look at the depth chart, he's still fighting with Bates for some time. So
I forgot all about Bates. Yeah, you're right.
So due to that, I think that not saying he's going to finish 7, but if he finished 11, I still think, finish 10, I think you still got your bang for your buck considering where he's going to be drafted. And, so Ertz is probably going to be one of those tight ends you can get for free, in all honesty, in a redraft league. But again, red zone as well. Red zone guy, Jaden looks for him. If you watch Washington games, he looks for him. He's just that nice pair of shoes that's by the door. You like to slide your feet in and go. And that's just who he is, man. So I'm gonna stay in the fire when it comes to that.
And that pretty much wraps it up for this week. We will be back to you on next week. We may start another series, kind of deep diving into each team as far as our prognosis for the year coming up. I don't know if y'all realize or not, but we are creeping towards football season a whole lot faster than it felt like it was going to be in January after the Super Bowl was said and done. But we're mid-May already. So we'll start seeing our camp notes, and we'll start seeing the reports on the rookies letting us know who's showing up, who's not. There'll inevitably be injuries, and that's going to affect fantasy as well. We'll navigate through all of that with you guys, so just make sure you stick with us. And remember, above all else, always tell the truth and nothing but the truth. For this week, we out.